1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue today that I believe that we need to grasp, understand, and fathom the road that is before us. I believe we're going to have a rough ride in that road. I believe we're witnessing today the dark clouds gathering over D.C. and the view of what is taking place and what shall take place, in my most humble opinion, the next 60-plus days. And I'm using 60-plus days because on January the 20th, it's supposed to be the swearing-in ceremony for President Donald J. Trump as the new 47th president. But I believe they're doing everything they can to try to prevent that from taking place. Listen, I'm looking at the headline, prolonged ballot counting delays remaining races in critical states, dated November the 18th. While the vast majority of the 2024 election cycle is already over, several races remain technically undecided as delayed, corrupted ballot counting processes have interfered with the results of several key contests. The article reads, as reported by The Hill, the irregularities and predominantly affecting the 3 crucial Rust Belt states known as the Blue Wall, Minnesota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, all 3 states saw critical races for the U.S. Senate this year, with 2 of these 3 being called for the Democrats, while 1 has been called for the Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a 5-page article talking about the process that's being promulgated and putrefied, if I can use that term, of what is called the legal process of voting. In fact, I was shocked to death to see the head of the one that is the head of the elections in the state of Pennsylvania, as she is defying 2 Pennsylvania state Supreme Court rulings. The rulings by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said that any of the mail-in ballots that were in after the right date, or they had the wrong date on them, or they didn't have verified signatures on them, could not be counted. So they were counting those. Supreme Court ruled that you can't do that. Supreme Court has ruled the second time, and the one that's in charge of the election process, the female in charge of that in the state of Pennsylvania, said, that's the Supreme Court. We don't have to obey it. We're not going to. We're going to show them that we're in charge and not the Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, when did you hear that before? When is it that somehow, some way, any time the courts would rule, Supreme Court in the state of Georgia and other states with the prosecution and the lawfare against Donald J. Trump, once that took place, they said Trump's supposed to obey that. That's what the Supreme Court says. That's what the local courts say, et cetera, et cetera. But when the shoe's on the other foot, Lord, all of a sudden, you don't have to obey the courts. They're trying to steal the election. And if you simply go back in history, you'll find that in some of those same states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, et cetera, there was major flaws in the 2020 election. Donald Trump was persecuted and prosecuted because he challenged the authenticity of the election. Rudy Giuliani today is still being eviscerated because he took a stand and said that the Dominion voting machines were ill and they were not regular and that they were manipulated to steal the election for Joe Biden, and now he's being persecuted and prosecuted almost to the point of total bankruptcy today. There are those that's in jail today as a result of challenging the race in Georgia, and President Trump's prosecution is still taking place by Fannie Willis as a result of his questioning the race. And so now here are the Democrats in the state of Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, et cetera, that's not concerned about running a clear race. And here it is now after the election. What is it, 3 weeks after the official date of November the 5th? And they're still counting votes? There's something wrong with that picture, and that just simply shows what is taking place. And here's the Kathleen Kamala campaign group. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that Kamala Harris is in panic mode? Her entire campaign was in panic. The campaign for 107 days spent $1.02 billion. Let me repeat that. The Kamala Harris campaign, the campaign lasted exactly 107 days. They burned through $1.02 billion. The entire campaign for Donald Trump, which is about a year and a half in reality, the entire campaign spent less than, I believe it was $375 million, $400 and something million, under a half billion. And yet now we're finding out that Kamala Harris gave a half billion dollars to Al Sharpton for him to do an interview. Kamala Harris gave $2 million to Oprah Winfrey for doing a fake phony interview with her. Kamala Harris's race campaign spent millions of dollars for Hollywoodites to come in simply to get a crowd to come. Did you realize that what the cameras did not show in Kamala Harris's campaigns when they had loads of people there, the people were there to hear the Hollywood people that were scheduled to sing a play or whatever they're going to do. And when those finished, the Hollywoodites, when they finished their presentation, most of the crowds would get up and walk out. They came simply for the concert and not for Kamala. But ladies and gentlemen, they're hair on fire now in the Kamala Harris campaign group, because she's pointing her finger saying the campaign director didn't do what was right. The campaign director said that she didn't know what she was doing and didn't give the instructions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we find that whole apparatus in total confusion. And on the other side of the coin, all of the Democratic Party is in a state of shock, in a state of hair on fire, in a state of wanting to know what can we do to destroy Donald J. Trump. They've not let up. They've not taken the foot off the accelerator. They're putting the, as Marjorie Taylor Greene said in an interview with, I believe it was Steve Bannon, she said, we need to conservatives, we need to put the pedal to the metal and go full steam ahead, and everything that Trump said he's going to do, he needs to be allowed to do it, or those that are in the House and the Senate need to get out of the way and let Trump go through with his plans, because the people have spoken. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the dangerous days that are before us. Seek God's face. Continue to pray. I believe Tom's on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I know you've been to a smorgasbord and everything looks so good and you don't know what to pick. And that's kind of the way that I look at you, are that you just cover all the spectrum of politics. But if I'm going to pick something, I'm going to say, Dr. Youngblood, have we ever been this far divided, this nation? And isn't it that even people with a thimble full of sense, is what my friend used to say, can see that the left is going their own way and they're going the right way, the wrong way, I'm sorry, that people just aren't going to get drug into oblivion. And if you believe everybody that's coming across that border is just wanting a better job, that's a dangerous chain of thought, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the thing that is so dangerous is the fact, Tom, let me just simply say this. President Trump, through Tom Holman, is going to, I believe, do a fantastic job of cleaning house. I believe we've got some 20 to 25 million illegal invaders that have come into America. Tom Holman is going to be the one that's responsible for trying to clean house. Donald Trump has already said he's going, if necessary, he would declare a national emergency to initiate his mass deportation. And I believe he needs to do that. National emergency gives him the sole authority to say, this is going to happen, we're going to clean house. And I believe that needs to be done. But here, the Socialist Marxist Communist Party and the Marxist media that's crying the blues that Trump's going to divide families. And by the way, Tom Holman, in one of his famous statements that I heard him declare, he said, when I was a police officer in New York City, he said, when I would arrest a drunk, I separated the family, separated him from his family. Because the challenge was, are you going to separate families? One of the anchor people that asked the question on CNN said, can't you do something that would not separate families and carrying out your job? He said, yes, we can deport the whole family. And it is a fact that must be carried out. But what we see happening is the Socialist Marxist media, along with the Communist Democratic Party, saying that they are not going to allow a smooth transition. They're declaring openly and defiantly that we will burn America down if necessary, if we can rule over the ashes. That's what we see happening today. Burning America down if they can rule over the ashes. Because they're unwilling. And you ask the question, have you ever seen it with this much separation? The answer is no. It's never been this way. And here's the reason. Most of our presidential transitions, Democrat and Republican, most of them were part of the globalist agenda. And so behind the scenes, they knew that this person is going to, this Democrat or this Republican president is only going to do what we allow him to do. We're still going to tell him what to do, when we go to war, where we go to war, lies we have to tell in order to have the war machinery working, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of them in the past. Donald Trump has broken the mold. Donald Trump is not interested in the war machine. He's not interested in going along to get along. He's not interested in simply saying, well, let's do this because it keeps peace and the people will not be all riled up. He's saying this is what we're going to do to make a tectonic change in the system of governance out of D.C. And in doing so, he's got folks upset. The embeds in the State Department, the embeds in the Department of Justice, the embeds in the FBI, the embeds in the FDA, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, with the appointment of Bobby Kennedy going into the FDA, Kennedy just got a major boost of all places of the New York Times. The New York Times stated, this is what's happening. He's going to be sure that of course, Kennedy has talked about Cheerios for some reason as one of the major pollutants of our food sources, because the red dye 3, the blue dye 5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all come from a major chemical source that is harmful to the human body. And he's pointing out that even in Canada, they don't allow that in their food products. And so the New York Times just printed an article on that validates what Kennedy has been saying. And now they're all upset that Kennedy's going to go in. He's going to destroy our food. No, he's not. He's going to go in and try to make us, as he calls the term, make America healthy again. And so I commend him for that. One of the major things, they're claiming that he's a no-vaxxer. He's not a no-vaxxer. He just simply says that Pfizer and other vaccination pharmaceutical, Big Pharma's in control of government rather than government being in control of Big Pharma. And he's wanted to clean house with that, open the doors, and point out. Hey, one of the articles with Robert Kennedy today, he said ivermectin has been demonized, and ivermectin is a miracle drug that should be embraced by society. But through the bureaucracy in history past with COVID, they refused to allow it to be used. So, yes, we're seeing a major, major in-house battle, in D.C. battle, that's going to spread across America in the next 60 days with people scrambling to believe either what the Democrats are saying or what the conservatives are saying. And I believe, for Tom, as conservative Christian patriots, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Perhaps you and others asking, well, what can we do? I believe every Christian, every conservative, needs to text, email, or telephone call the senator, your senator, and say, absolutely, without any equivocation, approve every one of Trump's nominees, without exception. Approve them. don't go through this thing of vetting them, and you've got to make sure that they comb the hair right, that they didn't take an aspirin twice a day rather than just once a day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the plans as it stands right now. And we've got, even though we control with the new Senate, we will control it. These that will take place, these vettings that will take place, may or may not be totally on the new Senate. And some of our new senators are absolute rhinos and not true conservatives. So, Tom, it deserves our prayer and our thoughts. What's your take on that?
Dr. Youngblood, I think that Trump is facing a huge obstacle. There's probably only two presidents has faced as much, and that was Lincoln with the Civil War, mm-hmm. and FDR with World War II. But the difference is Trump is facing an internal war. You know, FDR, he knew who the enemy was. It was the Axis powers. But you've got the rhinos who it's hard to spot. You have to look at what they're doing. So I would say he's facing the largest obstacle any president has ever faced in our nation's history. And I think that's, like you say, we sure need to pray for him, and we need to call our representatives in government and tell them that we totally support him and to abide by his wishes on these appointees.
Absolutely. One of the things, I'll read this and get your take on it, Tom, before I let you go. Cleaning house at the FDA. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, another HHS agency, meaning it would be within the Kennedy purview. Ahead of Election Day, Kennedy noted on Twitter, FDA's war on public health is about to end. This includes, listen to the list that Kennedy mentions. This includes its aggressive suppression of the different peptides, stem cell raw milk, hyperbaric therapies, chelation compounds, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamins, clean food, sunshine, exercise, and other means. Anything else in advanced human health and can't be patented by Big Pharma. He's saying that everything that Big Pharma has not or cannot patent, then they rule it as being unacceptable and that the American public does not have access to it. Goes on to say, yeah, this is what Kennedy says, if you work for the FDA and a part of this corrupt system, I have two messages for you. Preserve your records. Number two, pack your bags, end quote. So I'm looking forward to that. But, Tom, it goes back to the major hurdle that must be overcome at this moment, and that is getting confirmation of Trump's cabinet. And first and foremost, you know, Jamie Raskin, the radical Democrat that led the two attempted impeachments in the House, Jamie Raskin said that the Democrats are not going to certify Trump's election because he is a convicted felon and he is an insurrectionist, and he is already bragging about the fact papers are being prepared to submit in a suit to the U.S. Supreme Court to rule whether or not Trump can be seated as president. So there's still major, major hurdles to overcome, and so it deserves our prayer and our consideration, especially as conservatives and patriots in America. So, Tom, we need to keep praying, keep looking up. And thank you so much for your call and your input today. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank
that telephone number is... Thank you so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What are your thoughts? I'm talking about today the Democrats are in panic mode. Panic mode. It's not just in the Kamala Harris's aftermath of her colossal loss and the expenditure of $1.02 billion in 107 days. But the alarms, ladies and gentlemen, alarm bells are going off all over D.C. May I say to you, we need to understand the greatest fear today that I have is the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Party. They're planning to somehow, some way, refuse to certify Trump's election, And in that refusal, as I said, Jamie Raskin is saying that he's going to ask the Supreme Court to come in and try to prevent Trump's being seated. They're going to try to prevent each of his nominees from being approved. And I believe Donald J. Trump needs to go directly to the Senate and needs to have a recess of this Senate. In fact, I'm looking at the headline here. It says, do cabinet nominees need to be confirmed by the Senate? What's the next step for Trump's picks? President Donald Trump has already nominated several of his closest officials at cabinet roles and other administration positions, and it goes on to list them, etc. How does the Senate confirmation work? And I'll read that in just a moment. But the Senate confirmation working is minute, it is detailed, it is extraneous, and will take 60 to 90 to 180 days for Trump to have his cabinet. I believe he needs to go directly to the confirmation process by recessed appointments. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I believe we have Lee on the line. Lee, go over the question and comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. Nice to listen to your conversation. I just have technically 2 points. It doesn't matter who's in office, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. You know, I know that your Christian-based program, Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of the water, he turneth, and whithersoever he will. So it doesn't matter who's in office, who's trying to do what the RNC is trying to do, what the Democratic Party is trying to do. Whoever's in office, God is going to orchestrate what needs to be done. It is not at the final word of President-elect Trump or Joe Biden, or if it was Kamala Harris. It doesn't matter. God has the final say-so. Right now, I really don't have no trust in our democracy because of all the mudslinging, all of the backlashes from the Republican Party, from the Democratic Party. We are now the laughing stock of the world, which we're supposed to be the big brother of the world. We're now the laughing stock. So when Donald Trump gets into office, hopefully there will be some changes made. But what I would like for us to pray as a nation, that you're right, as you said earlier, that wisdom, that godly wisdom prevails. It is not the wisdom of Donald Trump or the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, the Senate nor the House. God's wisdom, that we pray that God's wisdom prevails. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Brother, listen, let me hold you just 1 minute. You're spot on. I don't sure. find one thing that I would have opposition to. God gives us the right, the privilege to vote, but God superintends, and God will have his will and way. In fact, you go to the 4th and 5th chapter of the book of Daniel, and you find that King Hezekiah was saying that Nebuchadnezzar was saying, this is what I've done. Look at what I built. Look at what I've done. And bragging about what he had done, and you know the rest of the story. God made him crawl and eat grass and crawl on his all fours for 7 years until he recognized right. that God's in control and not man. And God places in office yeah. whom he will, but we have the volitional choice to vote, and it's our responsibility, as you said, to pray and ask God to give the wisdom. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is that what you and I are saying is biblical and is truth, but the world in general does not see it through the eyes of a central biblicist or through a truth version of what should be done. They're looking at it for the most part scrambling of, let me take my have my power, don't take my power from me, don't let me have my authority removed from me. And as you are well aware, that behind the scenes we've had bureaucrats down through the years, embedded bureaucrats that never get fired, never get removed, they're there for life, and they have the feeling that I don't care who you elect as president, we're going to have our way and do what we want to do. Therein lies the real difference in this transition. Trump is going in on the basis that we need fresh blood, new eyes, and not just the bureaucrats that's going to do things the way they've always done them and not the way is constitutional. For example, destroying or dismantling the Board of Education. The Board of Education, U.S. Educational Department, is no place in our Constitution. We don't find it there. And yet we somehow, some way, parents think that if you close the Board of Education, my kids will be dummies. No. Before the Board of Education, U.S. Department of Education was set up, we had higher scores of learning in academics than we do today, and we were spending less money. You can look at a chart. Since the U.S. Department of Education opened, education academics plummeted, while at the same time the cost for those academics skyrocketed. And if we remand it back to the states take that money, remand it back to the local counties, let you and me and other parents make the decision who we're going to put in the Board of Education. We control education and not some federal bureaucrat. And so those are the things that I see that Trump has on the agenda that I'm praying God will give him, as I said and as you said, that God will give him wisdom to be able to do those things. Brother, thank you so much for your call and for your input. God bless
you. Just one other point before you.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Go ahead.
And I agree with you, especially with the Board of Education, because back then when Thurgood Marshall fought for the Brown versus the Board of Education, which I think at that time was to not to undermine, but to win. As a matter of fact, to make sure that the voting rights stays in the people's
yes.
hands, not
correct
the government's hands. So I do agree
correct.
With I do agree with that. But the caveat to me, and this is a caveat for me with Trump being put into office, in that same chapter I read in chapter 21, verse 2, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And see, this is where I have a problem in reference to Trump. Because, you know, again, we already know worldwide that the insurrection was ignited by elect President Trump. So I hope that when he does get in office, that his pride, his own way, is diminished and allow the way of God to prevail. Thank you again,
yes.
Brother.
Well,
I
was thankful for one of his statements, one of his speeches, by the way. He said, Trump's fair words, we need to put God back in society. We need to put the Bible back in society. We need to turn back to Christianity in America. And I don't think you could have said it any better than that. Brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Keep looking
you,
up.
Doctor.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue. I believe that we need to be concerned about it, concerned enough as conservatives, Christians, and patriots that will pray and seek God's face and ask God to heal our land. We're on the fast track for a major, major rough ride for the next 60 days. If the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party want to have their way rather than having it God's way from the standpoint of God's elected leader, just as our previous caller said, God's one puts people in office, not man himself, though we vote. We have the responsibility to do so. And if God has placed him in office, God will give him the wisdom to carry out what God would have him to do, in my most humble opinion. And my thinking is, at this particular point, Donald J. Trump needs to do a recess. When he goes in office, immediately needs to declare the Senate in recess for 10 days, appoint all of the cabinet members, and have them seated so that he starts with a full cabinet. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you go back and you study that Article 2 in the Constitution, that gives the president the authority, and every president in history past has exercised that authority one way or the other. So thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Praise the Lord.